This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وفي رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد اليوم الأول من شهر رمضان المبارك 1444 الموافق ل 23 من شهر شعبان الموافق ل 23 من شهر مارس 2023 نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك كتاب الله عز وجل أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر لابن كثير ويرفع درجته في العليين. So today inshallah we continue from where we stopped last time and I'll be dealing with the last part of Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And inshallah every class, looking at the fact that we are having the class at the last minutes before Maghrib, I will not take long. A class will be inshallah only for 30 minutes. And if there is questions, then we ask questions after that. Bismillah Azza wa Jal. If the dars is short like today's one, then we just have whatever we can have and move to question and answer session inshallah. In Ramadan, we try to either cut off everything or just have a brief. The rest of the time should be given to the Quran recitation and other activities inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Last time we stopped here, right? Yeah. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Did I reach that place? إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. So today is فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Yeah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. In the previous class, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the situation that will happen to the believers and the non-believers, right? Those who will be receiving their books from the right hand and those who will be receiving their books from the left hand. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. After that, Allah says, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. لَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ means, I أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the shafaq. And according to the best interpretations of the scholars, الشَّفَقُ, this is the red cloud that comes before the sunrise and after the sunset. Okay, before the sunrise and after the sunset. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wa waqtu salat al-isha'i ila maghrib aw hina yaghibu ash-shafaq." Hina yaghibu ash-shafaq. He said the time for the Isha prayer is when the shafaq is disappearing. So he is referring to the red clouds. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to the best opinions of the scholars, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is referring to the shafaq. Wal-layli wa ma wasaq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after swearing by the shafaq, which is part of the daytime, and then he says, wal-layli wa ma wasaq. And then Allah swears by the night and whatever it brings. Yeah, because you have night. When the night comes, it brings so many things that are not used to be there in the daytime. So he says, وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. So some scholars said, technically Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the shafaq, and this is the light of the day, the brightness of the day. Yeah, although we are referring to the red clouds before the sunset or after the sunset and before the sunrise, but then the scholar said this is in reference to the daylight. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. And the night and whatsoever it brings, whatever it combines and it brings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by that. Because when the night comes, as I said, so many things are emerging, including those creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which usually comes at night in the matahada al-arujul. قال والليل وما وسق والقمر إذا اتسق. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he swears by also al-qamar, إذا اتسق, when it is stable. Al-itisaq, some scholars said, when it is fully completed. That means he's swearing by the moon when it is at the 13th, 14th, 15th, right? Because these are the white days, right? When the moon is complete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these. And whenever you hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by something, what does he want to do? He wants to emphasize on something that is really crucial and and vital to the life of the believer. Something which is very important for us to focus on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to tell us that. He says, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. Yeah, that's the Jawab al-Qasr. Why is he swearing? He's swearing to establish this, to emphasize on this. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. The scholar said he's talking about hal and bad hal, meaning your life is not going to be equal. Yeah, today you are this, tomorrow you are that. Now you are doing this, later you are doing something else. Some of them said he is referring to the day of judgment, the ahwal, the things that are going to take place on the day of judgment. Some of them said it's just the situation of the ummah that la ya'ti zaman illa walladhi ba'dahu sharrun minhu. As Anas ibn Malik said, when he was talking to the Tabi'een, who complained to him about what Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf is doing against them. He really put them into trouble. So they complained to Anas ibn Malik, and Anas ibn Malik told them, please be patient. Because I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِّنْهُ. He said, there will not be a time that will come except that the one that will come after it will be worse than it. Yeah, so he told them to be patient. He told them to be patient because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌّ مِّنْهُ. There will be no time which will come except that another time that will come after this one will be worse. So you are complaining about Hajjaj, you don't know. Most likely the one that will come after the Hajjaj is going to be worse. And subhanAllah, this is very natural. Usually things are getting into the worst situation unless if people agree to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent. Yeah, because this is not necessary. It might change, right? That's why during the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, this maxim was not functioning, actually. It was not working. Yeah, because the time before Umar ibn Abdulaziz is really bad. But when he came, he managed to fix the world in 2 years. And he brought people back to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's why the scholars said, if people change their manners and attitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the worst time to the better time. Yeah, this is very normal. In the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz, life was very tough. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it with something that is excellent, right? So Al-Hasan al-Basri was asked what really happens, because the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ إِلَّا وَالَّذِي بَعْدَهُ شَرٌ مِّنْ. So he told them, you should know that لَا بُدَّ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ زَمَانٍ يَتَنَفَّسُونَ فِيهِ. Very nice statement. He says, the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this dunya is that he gives us chance to reflect, to breathe. He said there has to be a time which people can breathe and reflect and come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what happened during the time of Umar ibn Abdulaziz. Allah gave them that opportunity and they grabbed it. So the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took place in them. They have seen life in the way it should be seen. He managed in 2 years to clean everything. He will Allah. Corruption, no matter how much bad it is, if the reformers are sincere and they are honest in their reformation, trust me, it will not take a longer time to be fixed. Even if the corruption remains for ages, hundreds of years, is a matter of honesty and iman and taqwa, you can fix it within a short, very short period of time. Because when you are fixing the mess, you will be with who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have a little support from the human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put an intensive eye of protection and he will support you, and you will be able to do the right thing. So لا يأتي زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه is not in all circumstances, right? If you change to doing that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, the time that will come after this one will be better than the one you are living in. But if you don't change, then لا يأتي زمان إلا والذي بعده شر منه. So different interpretations of the scholars concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You get it? You are going to be having a situation after a situation. You will never live in a situation that will be continuous without any change. Some of them even say tabakan an tabak is referring to the heavens. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes to the Isra wal Mi'raj. Qala la tarkabunna tabakan an tabak, and some of them said this tarkabunna tabakan an tabak is referring to the attitude of the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of following the wrongdoers. He says la tarkabunna sanana man kana qablakum. You are going to be following and embarking on the sunnah of those people who came before you. He said, shibran bi shibran, step by step. Shibran is this, one span of hand. I mean, step by step. Whatever they do, you're going to do. Exactly like our time. Whatever they do. Hatta law dakhalu juhra dabbin, if one of them is going to enter the house of a lizard, you'll find in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam somebody who is doing the same. Yeah, this is who we are exactly today, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innaha sunan." Yeah, he told the companion, he said, "This is sunan," because the predecessors during the time of Musa alayhi salam, after Allah subhanahu wa taala saved them from Fir'aun, what did they tell Allah subhanahu wa taala after the Mujawazat al-Bahr? "Qalu ij'al lana ilahan kama lahum aliha." They found a people ya'kufuna ala asnamin lahum. They found a group of people worshipping the sun. Then they told Musa alayhi salam, "Why can't you make for us ilah, somebody to worship just like this? Just now Allah saved them from Fir'aun. The appreciation is to make shirk. What kind of mentality is this?" So after the battle of Hunayn, the new converts, those people who converted to Islam very new, they met a group of people, yani ya'kufuna ala shajara, they taking their sword and they're hanging it on a tree, looking for the barakah. They believe that any sword that you put it there will get some barakah in it. So they found it interesting, those new Muslims. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, why can't you make us dhatu anwat just like the way they have also dhatu anwat?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allahu Akbar, innaha sunan." He said, "These are a sunnah." Sunnah means a path that people follow. He says the same, he says, "Qultum walladhi nafsi Muhammadin biyadihi kama qalat banu Israila li Musa ij'al lana ilahan kama lahum aliha." You have said, wallahi, just like what the Jew told Musa alayhi salam, make for us ilah just like the way these people have also ilah. So therefore we have to be very careful. Benefiting from the Western community and from the kuffar is not haram. Yeah, to benefit from the kuffar is not haram. However, we just have to restrict ourselves to the dunya benefit. And when it comes to the tarbiyah and other matters, we have to know that our religion is more than enough for us. You Allah, you don't need the kuffar forever and ever. Yeah, if you hold upon the religion, you don't need them at all. Yeah, you don't need them at all. Cooperation has to be maintained, no problem, as human being is concerned. Yeah, we cooperate. You buy from them, they buy from you. You establish company together, no problem. But as far as need for you to succeed, to need them, no. This one has never been there and it will never be there. But we have to make sure that we are following our religion, then Allah SWT will grant us the lead. Otherwise, we will remain in the way we are, being the tails of those enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, "La tarkabunna tabakan an tabak." These are all interpretations. I'm just trying to brainstorm what was said by the scholars and share with you, you know, of the meaning of "La tarkabunna tabakan an tabak." And I've told you some of the scholars believe that this is the situation that will take place on the Day of Judgment. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Sometimes this, sometimes that. Until the time the hisab is being finalized. So Allah says, "La tarkabunna tabakan an tabak." فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What's wrong with these people? You Allah, they deserve this. Allah says, what's wrong with them? What's wrong? What actually is the thing that is wrong? Why can't they see the truth? Why can't they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. يعني أي فَمَا يَمْنَعُهُمْ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. What what happened, you know? What is bothering them? What is disturbing them? What is depriving them from accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? وَإِذَا قُرِيَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. And what's wrong with them? How come whenever the Quran is recited to them, they don't make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They don't submit to the Quran. Quran is the kalam Allah, al-munazzal al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through Jibreel alayhi sallam. So that's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking this question, which the shows that the issue of those people is so strange. With all the ayat and the clear evidence is given to them, but still they are not believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is asking this question. What's the problem? What's the matter? وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنَ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. And whenever somebody recited the Quran for them, they don't make sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the places to make sujood and a person is reading the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. Allah says, but unfortunately, it is part of their behavior and attitudes to reject whatsoever was brought by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They denied, they rejected, and they don't agree to follow it. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِمَا يُعُودُ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything these guys are hiding in their chest. Whatever they put in their chest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he knows that. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ بِمَا يُعُودُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what they're hiding in their chest. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give them the glad tidings. You know, Bushra usually comes with the good news. Yeah. Allah said, give them the good news that they are going to receive a severe punishment. Yeah. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. We should tell them. Whether they're alive or they're dead. But for sure, you are supposed to do it in the nice way. You don't go to the kafir and tell him, وَبَشُّرُكَ بِالنَّارِ. Yeah, it might cause you into trouble and that person might stay away from hell, stay away from Islam. Yeah, stay away from Islam after that statement. Should invite him to Islam. Yeah, but when they die and you pass through their graveyard, what would you say? وَبَشُّرُكَ بِالنَّارِ. As the Prophet said, إِذَا مَرَرْتَ بِقَبْرِ كَافِرٍ فَبَشِّرْهُ بِالنَّارِ. Whenever you pass across a graveyard of an unbeliever, you should give him a good news of going to hell. Yeah, of course, you don't say it next to his relatives, you know. It would be a tragedy and they would not understand what you're doing and it would not be part of the wisdom for you to go for that. Yeah, but you just say it in secret. That's what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked you to do. For the living ones, you give them da'wah. Try to invite them to the right way. Anyway. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Except those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they act righteously. Yeah, so this is istisna. Allah says they are going to hell except the one who accepted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and believe in him. Amana wa amila salihan. They believe and they put their faith into practice and action. Yeah, because faith is not enough if you don't support it with action. Yeah, otherwise you will be equal to anyone. How do I know that this person is a Muslim if he doesn't pray to Allah, doesn't fast, doesn't do things? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the believers and the good ones, they will not be going to hell, and you don't give them the good news of going to hell because they will not be going to hell. Although there is a house for them in hell, because every single human being has two houses, one in hell and one in paradise. And the angel will inform him in the grave, this is your place. If it is a mu'min, they will tell him, this is supposed to be your place when they show him hell. They will say, this is supposed to be your house. Had you disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed it with the best and they will show him his place in Jannah. So he has his place in hell and a place in Jannah. Who will be inheriting him? Yeah, those Jews and the criminals, you know, those people who disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. They will be replacing the good one in hell. Contrary to what was said by the Yahud. Yeah, the Yahud says what? لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. We'll just be in hell for 7 days. It's a few days. And then what happened? قالوا ثم تخلفون فيها. And then you guys are going to replace us. Yeah. So they agreed that they're going to hell. They said, we will go to hell. They said they will go to hell. But now they want us to come to hell with them. So we don't agree, right? So we let them with their belief they will go to hell, but we don't agree to follow them. Yeah. So they were right, because there are some people who will agree to follow them in hell. Yeah, they were wrong. If they go to hell, they will not come out of it. They will stay there forever and ever. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَسْمَعُ بِي يَهُودِيٌ وَلَا نَصْرَانِيٌ ثُمَّ يَمُوتُ وَلَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِي إِلَّا كَانَ مِنْ أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. There will be no Jew or Christian that will hear about me and then let himself die without accepting the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the last and the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take him to hell. Yeah, this is very clear. No modification, the way you hear some people might be trying to modify. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says kuffar, there is a difference between kafir and mushrik and all of these things you hear nowadays. And you don't call them kuffar because they're not kuffar. Get an idea? They are Ahlul Kitab. Get an idea? And as such, they're not support, we can't say they're going to help. Yeah. So just tell him, we're not saying they're going to help, but Allah says they're going to help. Yeah, and leave it in that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So iman and also al-amal as-salih. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. These people will be receiving their reward, which is Jannah, غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ and غَيْرُ مَنْقُوسٌ. The one that is not deficient. Yeah, the one that is not deficient and the one that will not have an end. So this is the end of the surah. Let's just introduce the first surah and then we stop, inshallah. The next surah and then we stop, inshallah. The next surah after this is Surah Al-Buruj. Yeah, Surah Al-Buruj. يقول الإمام أحمد رحمه الله. And also like the previous one, these are all Meccan surahs, which are very straightforward and powerful, and they don't have any much of ahkam in them. They're very, very straightforward and strong in terms of establishing the iman, especially the iman in the hereafter. قال حدثنا عبد الصمد قال حدثنا زريق ابن أبي سلمة قال حدثنا أبو المهزم أو المهزم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يقرأ في العشاء الآخرة والسماء ذات البروج والسماء والطهر. This narration says that the Prophet ﷺ, the hadith is weak, but it is mentioned that the Prophet ﷺ used to use these surahs in his recitation in Salat al-Isha, Surah al-Buruj and Surah al-Tariq. Yeah. Prophet ﷺ used to read surahs that are closer to each other, one in this rakah and the other one is, yeah, لَأَقْسُمْ بِيَوْمَ الْكَيَامَ لَأَقْسُمْ بِهَذَا الْبَلَدِ سَمَعِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُجِ وَسَمَعِ الطَّارِقِ. Yeah. So يقول الله عز وجل والسماء ذات البروج واليوم الموعود وشاهد ومشهود قتل أصحاب الأخدود النار ذات الوقود إذ هم عليها قعود وهم على ما يفعلون بالمؤمنين شهود وما نقموا منهم إلا أن يؤمنوا بالله العزيز الحميد الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض والله على كل شيء شهيد إن الذين فتنوا المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثم لم يتوبوا فلهم عذاب جهنم ولهم عذاب الحريق. This surah is in general one of the best lessons you get from this surah is the support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the good ones, to strengthen your heart, to make you very strong in terms of holding upon the deen and also moving forward toward the success, you know, of Islam and also the da'wah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be telling us that as long as you're doing the correct thing and you give da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to get hatred from others, but don't worry because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stands on your side. Yeah, that's why he talks in the surah about his batsh. And he talks in the surah about the history of those people who disturbs the believers in the past, Ashab al-Ukhdud. Yeah, we will, inshallah, go gradually, and we quote from the story that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrated for us, which I believe Ibn Kathir also mentioned. Yeah, mentioned the story that of the boy and the king. I guess you remember that hadith, right? The boy and the king, where the king tried to kill the boy and he couldn't. Yeah, this story has a lot of lessons in it, and even from it, the scholars learned the ruling of Islam concerning the suicide. Because suicide al-intihar in Islam, is it tolerated? No. Yeah, the shortest and the easiest way for a person to make it to hell is to commit suicide. Yeah, it's to commit suicide. But it has a definition. Yeah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about it, and he says, "Man qatala nafsahu bi hadidatin, fa hadidatuhu fi yadihi yaja'u biha batnahu fi nari jahannam yaja'u biha batnahu yawm al-qiyamah fi nari jahannam khalidan mukhalladan fiha abada." Whoever takes a knife and hits his stomach with, he will be holding the knife of hell and punishing himself, stabbing himself in hell forever and ever and ever with no end. خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said. قَالَوْ مَنْ تَحَسَّى سُمَّنْ. And whoever takes poison and eat it or drink it and kill himself because of it, فَسُمُّهُ فِي يَدِهِ, he is going to be holding his sum, the poison. يَتَحَسَّاهُ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدًا مُخَلَّدًا فِيهَا أَبَدًا. He will be drinking that poison in Jahannam. وَمَنْ تَرَدَّى مِنْ جَبَلٍ. And the person who went on top of a high building or mountain, you know, and threw away himself and killed himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let him keep rolling, you know, on the mountains in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. That will be his punishment. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qatala nafsahu bi shay'in udhiba bihi yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever killed himself with something, he will be punished by that thing on the day of judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kana rajulan fi man kana qablakum." There used to be a man who used to be who existed in the past. كَانَ بِهِ جُرْحٌ فِي يَدِهِ. He has an injury on his hand. فَجَزِيَ. He was not patient. What did he do? فَأَخَذَ السِّكِّينَ. He took a knife and cut that part of the hand. Just like that. قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَمَارَقَ الدَّمُ حَتَّى مَاتَ. He kept on bleeding until death. He bled till death. And subhanAllah, look at the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning that issue. He says, بَادَرَنِي عَبْدِي بِنَفْسِهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. My slave was impatient. He wasn't patient. You know, he took off his life before the due time. Yeah, although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already decreed that this is the time he will die, but things have cause, right? He was the cause. And that, subhanAllah, caused him خُسَرَانَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. He lost everything. Yeah, as well in Islam, no matter how much strong is the pain, you cannot take off your life. That's why euthanasia, halal or haram? Haram in Islam. Yeah, you can't say because of the suffering this person has been suffering for ages, let us just kill him. No, you're not allowed to give the permission to the doctors to inject him with something that can kill him. You're not allowed to remove the machines that are helping him to survive. The parents shouldn't give their consent. The family shouldn't give their consent. But if they cannot afford and the government doesn't want to take care of him, they just leave him in the hospital. It's the responsibility of the authority to support him to live. If they can't, and they went and they took action, I mean, they just go, they decide to kill, and they take off those machines. Who's responsible? They're responsible. But you as a family, you shouldn't say, just go ahead and remove the thing. No, you didn't do that. Let them do it by themselves. Just leave him in the hospital and leave. Yeah. When they remove the thing and he lost his life, then they will be answering Allah's question on the day of judgment. No matter how much is the suffering, you don't give a person something to take off his life. You just have to keep trying your best until then. If Allah wants to grant him shifa, alhamdulillah. If he died, then nobody killed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him. You get it? Nobody killed him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him. Yeah. His concept is rooted down in Islam. That's why abortion after 120 days is haram or halal. Strictly prohibited. It's murder, Islamically. It's murder. Whoever is going to give you fatwa, this fatwa is useless. Yeah, when the child have a soul, then that child has to stay, cannot be removed, no matter what the situation of that mother is. We don't take off the life of the child. The doctors, they have to try their best to save both of them. But if they don't save both of them, they kill one of them, they are the murderer of that child. They have to pay the diya and repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the kafara. You know, whatever is necessary concerning the murder of a human being, they have to go for that. The mother of the murder of the child. So these are serious matters. Matters of life, really, really, really sensitive matters in Islam. Very, very sensitive. In the way, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk about is the blood matters on the Day of Judgment. Yeah, when it comes to Ma'amalat, the blood matters are the first to be discussed. That's how serious is the issue in Islam. So no matter what, you know, how much you are suffering, you don't take of your life. If you do that, then that's the easiest way for somebody to make it to hell. He has to be patient until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take off his life. Then that's it. Yeah. You don't advise people to do it, and you don't do it yourself. In Islam, we have this concept of what? Patience. Yeah, because calamity, is it good or bad to us? Good. You Allah. Test, if you understand, test correctly. You're not allowed to invite it. But if you understand why test is coming, it's mercy actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. Because test, remove the sins, wake you up, and I mean strengthen that the relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, that's the purpose of the test when it comes. But you have to deal with it according to the Sharia in the nice way. Otherwise, you are going to lose. So if you understand this concept properly, no matter how much you are suffering, you will not think of taking off your life, killing yourself. You will be patient because you know at the end of the day it will be good for you. Allah says, "Innama al-usri yusra." After every difficulty, ease is going to come and replace that difficulty. And He says, with every difficulty, you have two yusra, not one. Yeah, two yusra. So success is coming after the test. That's why when that person came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, he said, "Hal asabatka ummu mildam?" He said, "Did you ever get affected by ummu mildam?" He said, "What is that, ya Rasulullah?" You know, he's living a very easy life. He doesn't even know what ummu mildam is all about. He said, "What's that?" He says, "Ummu mildam is a temperature, high temperature between the flesh and the skin." He's referring to fever. He said, "No, ya Rasulullah, I never experienced that in my life." And then he said, "Wahala asaba kasuda?" Do they ever got an experience headache? He said, "What is that?" Even the name he doesn't know. He said, "What's that, Rasulullah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Irqun yadribu fi ras," is a vein that clinging in your head. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the man says, "No, ya Rasulullah, I never experienced this in my life." After he left, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Whoever wants to see somebody who is going to hell, he should look at that person." But does that mean if you never had headache, you go to hell? Alhamdulillah, we have a lot. So, but does that mean if you never experience fever or headache, you will go to hell? No, it's not like that. But this person, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look into his life, that he's a human being like anybody else, and he is committing sins, and there are no expiation in his life. Yeah, because those calamities, when they come, sickness and people making you annoyed, you know, these are all kafarat, mukaffirat. Allah is removing your sins, you know. Yeah. So that's who we are, you know. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nobody should look for death. We're not even talking about you killing yourself. Even to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take off your life, he said it's wrong. Unless if you think that you cannot handle the suffering, then you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this dua. "Ya Allah, if life is better for me, let me live. If death is better for me, let me die." He said, if you cannot be patient, then we go for this. He said, "Ya Allah, choose whom you want. If life is better, let me live. If death is better for me, let me die." But at the first situation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you long life in righteousness. Yeah, because either chance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you to repent, or chance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you to increase your righteousness to have a better place than what you have right now in paradise. Is that clear, inshallah? So as I said, this class is going to be only 30 minutes. Unfortunately, I exceeded 30 minutes with 5 minutes extra. But inshallah, throughout the Ramadan, we're going to have this only 30 minutes class, inshallah. So we try to come early. Bismillah azza wa jalla. I really want to finish this class by 6 maximum. Yeah, so that those people who are cooking for the family go and get ready. Yeah, we don't pressure them so much. Yeah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and accept your deed. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your Ramadan the best Ramadan, you know, you ever fasted. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all of us among those whom He will be freeing from going to hell. إنه بكل جميل كفيل سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. If there is a question, please.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخ.
السلام ورحمة الله.
If a person breaks his fast and kafara is required, so they need to fast 60 days.
Yeah.
Do they still have to re-fast the specific day it broke in addition to the 60 days?
Yeah. Breaking the fast, if it is by eating or drinking, there is no kafara in it, according to the best opinion of the scholars, no kafara in it. But the sin is too big. Yeah, we have to understand this concept in Islam, which most of us are not aware of it, that any sin that Allah SWT makes kafara for it, that means the issue of the sins might be simple. That's why you can settle it here. That the dangerous one is that are those ones that Allah SWT did not mention any kafara to them. That's why Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib says, any sin that Allah SWT make kafara for it, he says, فَأَمْرُهُ هَيِّنٌ. The issue of the sin might be simple. You know, it's not to take it lightly, but in comparison to the other sin that have no kafara, this one is, those ones are more dangerous. He said, فَلِذَلِكَ لَمْ يَجْعَلِ اللَّهُ لِلْكَذِبِ كَفَارًا. That's why Allah SWT does not make kafara for lying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have zero tolerance to lying. That's why in Islam it's haram, strictly prohibited for a person to lie, no matter what, except in those three places mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when it comes to fasting, eating or drinking in the day of Ramadan, it breaks the fast and is a very, very, very bad and evil and big sin. But there is no kafara to it, according to the best opinion of the scholars. The only thing that necessitates kafara is having sexual relationship with the spouse. Having sexual, the actual sexual relationship with the spouse. Not having the discharge of the money in Ramadan. For instance, when somebody plays with himself, waliyazu billah, that's masturbation, right? Or his family played with him and then he has the discharge of the money. This doesn't necessitate kafara. It breaks his fast and he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fast is gone and he has to make up another one after Ramadan. In both situations, the one that he broke it by eating or drinking and the one that he broke it by having the discharge of the money. But he just repeats the fasting after Ramadan. But if he approach his spouse, you know, sexually, then in this case, he has to do the kafara. He has to make up that day first to pay it and also he has to fast for 60 days. Yeah, that's if you cannot free the slave. And this 60 days, they are continuous. Yeah, 60 days continuously. He cannot break any unless if he's sick. If he's sick and he cannot afford to fast, the scholar said, he break the fast and right after he's okay, then he continues from where he stopped. Otherwise, if he has a break for one day, even if it is day number 29, he decided to take break. 59. Yeah, all the previous one are gone. Let's initiate from the beginning. That's why patience is needed, right? Yes, Mazin.
Assalamu alaikum
wa rahmatullah.
When a child is born, people give cash as a gift to the child. Can parents use that money or does it have to be kept for the child and returned to him when he gets older?
No, they can use it all. Yeah. They can use it. As a parent, when somebody makes a gift for your child, if he doesn't know, you can just use it. أنتَ ومالك لأبيك. You can tell him later time, son, I got your money and I used them. Yeah, that's okay, inshallah. And the son, if let's say he is matured and somebody gave you his money and you are the father or the mother and you need to use them, the best is to call him and tell him first before you use. Son, I have the money with you, which is given by Mazid for you. Can I use them? What if he says no? You tell him, "Ana abuk." Yeah, the scholar said you should inform him. Yeah, but as a father, as a mother, you do have a right to use it, but you have to own it first by telling them that we're going to use it. They're not supposed to reject Islamically. Yeah. But my advice is that as a father, as a mother, try your best to avoid using anything that belongs to your kids, unless if it is necessary. Yeah. Let them come willingly and give it to you. Teach them what is Islam concerning this matter, but just try your best to stay away from it. Especially this time of ours, you know,
the next question is, if a person breaks his fast and he can neither fast nor give the required charity, can he give whatever he has in charity? Based on the hadith, man gave some dates to give in charity.
He cannot fast, right?
Yeah.
That means he's an old man, right? Yeah, who cannot fast? Yeah, he just give whatever he has. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. You fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to your ability. Yeah, it's around 10 ring, less than 10 ringgit actually, because it's half of sa. You know, sa, that container is four of this. You know, when you take the seed like this, four times will make one sa. So half of it, that means two of this. Two of this is around 1.5 kg, 1.5 kg. Now the rice in the market, 5 kg is around 14 ringgit. You can have 14, 15, 16 ringgit. Yani less than 20 ringgit, you can have 5 kg. Do you get the idea? That's why the fidya that you feed the person is less than 10 ringgit. That's why the scholar said if you can give him 1.5 kg, and add a little bit amount of ringgit for him to buy the things to make soup. You know? Otherwise, is he going to eat white rice? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it'am, feeding him. So you're supposed to make something complete, you know, to be on the safe side. You get the idea? If not, then you just buy the food and invite two needy people to be on the safe side. Some scholars said one, because Anas used to feed and for 30 days and invite 60, in some narration, 30 needy people to feed them after Ramadan when he couldn't fast. You get the idea? They said two, because two, 1.5 kg can suffice two people. Three, actually more than that. Yeah, actually more than that. If you cook rice, it can suffice a lot. 1.5 kg is a lot, you know. Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. So the point is to bring a needy person and to cook a meal for him. One meal. Not the whole day you are feeding him, no, only one meal. Get the idea? Yeah. So the best is to just keep staying away from fasting if you cannot. After Ramadan, you bring them and feed them like what was done by the companions. And you can also make it every day. That might be good because you are feeding somebody who fast, right? Every day you bring a needy person and give him the food. And you should give him food, not money. There's Harun.
Can let's take example, there is a person who sits, they miss a sizable amount of days, and they can fast. And then their illness extends from that Ramadan
to the next one.
So this person intended on going back to fast, but every time they try to fast, it causes health concerns. So they feel that they cannot fast. So now comes in the month of Ramadan and they want to try to fast. So the discussion I was having with this person is, why not feed the people for the amount of days you need? Let's take like 20 people. Why don't you feed 20 people for the amount of days you need to choose 20 before Ramadan? But the person says, well, I want to make up my fast. But this Ramadan, I want to try to fast what I missed because of my sickness after this Ramadan.
Now he is free from that sickness.
The person is still ill, but the person wants to try this Ramadan also.
And the doctors tell him he can try.
They said, you look at your condition. Yeah. If you try and you feel that it's aggravating, then you stop. But you try, you can try.
What was the statement of the doctors before? Did they tell him this is the sickness that is, I mean, seems to be permanent?
The sickness is...
That's why I'm asking.
It's like a kidney condition. So the person has a kidney problem.
Okay.
And when they don't drink water, it causes issues.
Yeah.
Pain and so on and so forth. So the person generally was scared to fast, because the pain tends to be quite intense because it comes once in a while.
Mm.
So after this, in Ramadan,
but this is something curable. Yeah, the reason why I'm asking, because scholars divided sickness into two.
Yes.
The one that is possible to cure,
yes.
This one you don't fast. You stay away from fasting, but you don't feed anyone.
Okay.
You wait until the time it is okay. I mean, the sickness is gone, and then you come and replace all the days you missed, slowly, slowly, according to your ability. But if they already tell him, at the first place, they told him that this is permanent sickness, a sickness, they don't have any medicine for it, you most likely are going to live with it forever and ever, like old age. In this case, he doesn't fast, but he just replaces it with the fidya. So that's why I needed to know what exactly his condition is, then I will be able to answer him correctly.
From childbirth, the person had an inflammation in one kidney, which the person's kidney is, I think, about that kidney is about 18%, 17% functional.
Mm.
The other kidney is about 70%, which is okay.
Mm.
So when the person can fast, but sometimes it aggravates and then it causes inflammation.
Mm.
And then when the person doesn't drink water, then it is so on and so forth.
Mm.
So for years, it was okay. But then later on, due to stress and so on and so forth, it started coming back again. So that what's happened the previous Ramadan. The person was under a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
So when they started fasting, it caused this thing to aggravate. So they had to stop fasting. So now they feel that they have recuperated enough to try fasting this Ramadan. And they want to try also after Ramadan to fast.
Mm-hmm.
So is this the best approach, or do you need to feed as soon as possible before, if you pass away, you need to meet Allah, you'll be in proper trouble?
I know, whenever somebody, let's say you have to feed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make a time for it, a person can do it at any time. Let's say I miss some of Ramadan. Whatever is wajib upon me, I have to do it before the next Ramadan comes. If I don't do it, I'm committing sin. I have to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then after that, I just go for the feeding without any kafara. If it is a replacement of a fast, I have to replace it and do istighfar. Istighfar is a must. I must do the istighfar because of the negligent. Yeah, but still, I really need to have a clear picture with this person. You know, if I can hear the case, because if the doctors did not tell him at the first place that this is the nature of your sickness, then he is supposed to be trying to fast, you know. Whenever he faces difficulty, he breaks the fast, no problem. And then he makes it up later on whenever he can afford it. But if they already told him that this is a permanent marad muzmin, permanent kind of sickness, we don't expect you to be okay in this illness, then the person will just keep eating and not fast, but pays the fidya. Yeah, I will advise him, say before Ramadan, but now Ramadan already happened, to do the fidya, feed somebody for the old Ramadan before we have another Ramadan which he plans to attempt. Yeah, but as I said, I would like to have a clear explanation from him or from you, I mean, in detail, so that I can give a correct answer to that, inshallah.
How many more questions?
How many more questions left?
Two.
Okay, can.
Next question. If a woman breaks her fast due to willingly obeying the husband in being intimate with him, without being forced, does she have to do kafara too?
Yeah, both of them. If a woman submits, actually it's haram for him to obey. If the husband asks her to come for a relationship and she's fasting in Ramadan, even if legally he doesn't fast, let's say he just came back from a journey. Do you get an idea? Because according to the best opinion of the scholars, if you break your fast legally, and then that thing which used to be the cause of your, of the rukhsa, you know, the concession, the cause of that concession is gone. Let's say you are on a journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you permission to eat. So you don't fast because of that journey. But now you are back home. But when did you come back? After Dhuhr. You get it? People are still fasting. Is it necessary for you to stop eating? Yeah, some scholars said you cannot eat because this is the day of Ramadan. But this is not true. As long as Allah makes it legal for you, you can keep eating until then. Because there is no use of you punishing yourself. And that fasting is not counted for you. The only thing that you should do, if somebody says, but in the Nahar of Ramadan, you cannot eat. When you are there on the way, aren't you in the Nahar of Ramadan? You are there also in the Nahar of Ramadan. So you can eat. If both of them, let's say the wife and the husband, they are on a journey and they don't fast, when they come back home, they can do whatever they want. It's okay because they are not fasting. But let's say she is at home and he's on a journey. He came back. Legally, he can have sexual relationship with somebody who is like him. But if she's not, she is fasting. And then he told her, I want to have a relationship with you. And she agrees with him. She's in trouble just like the way he is in. Actually, him being in trouble might be lesser than hers because he's not fasting. Although he is the causer of that person to break her fast. So that's why she is not allowed to submit herself to him no matter what. Even if she happened to run away, leave the house. She has to leave the house and run away. Unless if he uses his force, you know, and by force he pressure her to get idea. And that's why after that she shouldn't keep quiet. She reports to anyone who can take action after that. Because this is really, really bad to get the idea. But if he forces her and she couldn't have control, you know, she couldn't do anything. I say the man is so majnoon in the way she was afraid of losing her life. And therefore, she reached a conclusion that, yes, there is no any other way out except to submit. She gave herself to him. No kafara on her. And the fasting, her fasting also is okay. She's still fasting. Yeah, that's the beauty of Islam. Because at that time, she doesn't have any choice. She have no option, no choice, you know. In this case, the fasting, her fasting is intact. It's not broken, actually. So no kafara and her fasting is okay. His fasting is the one that is gone if he is fasting. If he's not fasting, he got the sin of, pressuring her. Only Allah knows how big is that sin, because it's a major sin, actually. Okay, so he got the problem, but she doesn't have any problem in that. But if, according to the question, it looks like there is no pressure in that way. Yeah, she just don't want to annoy him. Yeah, at that time, she should annoy him 1 million times. Allah, she cannot break her fast because of him. That can happen only in the sunnah fast. When she is fasting the sunnah and the husband needed her, she has to break that fast and come to him. The fidya will be on both of them. But if the husband is not fasting, he doesn't break any fast. He committed a sin that he has to do the istighfar, but she has to pay she has to do the kafara. Freeing a slave, or fasting for 60 days, or feeding 60 needy people. So our patience is needed. How many hours we fast? Has it been reached 13 hours? Around 12 to 13? Okay. At 12 hours, you cannot be patient, you know. Anyway, Allah guide him.
Next question. If only one of the spouses commits many without intercourse, does the other spouse also have to refast that day?
What do? They have the sexual relationship with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, if the sexual relationship happened, whether they have money or they don't have the discharge, because sexual relationship in Islam is the penetration of the penis. Right after the scholars of fiqh, they mentioned, right after that head passes the circumcision of the other spouse, ghusl is wajib. The Prophet said, anzala am lam yunzil. Whether they have the inzal is the discharge of the money or not. Whether it comes or it doesn't come, the sexual relationship itself breaks the fast and necessitates the kafara. Bringing the money out without sexual relationship, this one breaks the fast but not kafara. If a person does it intentionally, he has to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is unintentional, by mistake he looked at his wife, but he couldn't protect his brain. I mean, he couldn't stop his brain until the time he says, I don't know how did that happen, but if that scenario could be imagined, then there is no kafara on him. If he couldn't control himself, even some are saying his fast is still okay. But to be on the safe side, that fast is gone, because if the money exit, then he has to break. He has to do another fasting. You get it? But if they have the sexual relationship, whether there is a discharge or there is no discharge of money, it doesn't matter. The fast is gone and they have to do the kafara. That's the last one. Okay. Thank you very much. And people should gather, inshallah, in the next class. We have another class on Thursday, right? Yeah. Gather questions of fasting and issues of fastness to deal with them, inshallah, every time. Yeah. Okay. Harun, yeah. You have a question? Okay, then, inshallah. Okay, thank you very much. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.